T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I think it's crazy how virtually everybody who works in this building, Heat fans, most of us, are all in favor of bringing Melo to Miami, which I don't think is going to happen. Like Shams Charania from Yahoo reported that Houston is a front runner. But virtually everyone in this building is in favor of Melo. And I would say 95% of my audience, those that I've heard from on tweet and text, are dead set against it. You think I'm crazy for wanting Melo? Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Mike Cuno from CBS Miami, CBS 4, joins us. And, you know, Mike, I do want to get into some of this MLS stadium stuff and South Florida politics. But for me, my logic on Carmelo is I don't believe the Heat have future all-stars on this team. They've got some decent young players, but I don't think it's a tragedy if you take a few minutes away from some of these guys. There's not a whole lot of excitement on this team. It's not a contending team. I don't really see anything to lose by bringing in Carmelo Anthony. If nothing else, it gives a little more of a spotlight on this team, puts a few more asses in the seats. I think it's a win-win, but my audience is dead set against it. Where do you fall on this?
I'm going to agree with your audience, and I'm not and I'm not pandering to them.
Okay.
I agree. What are you going to get him for a year? And yeah, the team may not be that exciting, but you're going to get him and then what? You know, it's not like he's a superstar with a ton of years left in the tank. I mean, you've got guys who are trying to emerge here. Justice Winslow, for all the grief Justice Winslow has gotten over the years, you saw him kind of erupt in the playoffs there a little bit. Maybe erupt's too strong of a word, but you finally started seeing what you were hoping to see from Justin.
I did like when he stepped on the mask of Joel Embiid. I thought that was kind of cool.
Right. And you know, he put in a lot of good minutes there, and I think that's part of his development. And I think a guy like Melo takes away from that. Sure, he's obviously going to be an offensive weapon and a scoring threat. So I'm not saying there's no pros to it, but to me, unless you can move some of those contracts in dealing with OKC, but it looks like they're going to just flat out release him, and then you just got to pay him money. So I don't think you can move any of those heavy contracts like a Tyler Johnson or something to get him. If that was the case, I would say yes. Obviously, it makes sense, but
we can no longer be friends. You realize this?
Yeah, you know what? You know what? Friends call each other, Donnell. When was the last time you called me, buddy? Come on.
Oh, my bad. I do want to give you some props, though, for the 40-yard dash where you just wiped the floor with our buddy Dave Dwork. I mean, Mike, that was not even a competition. You smoked him.
I told him beforehand. I said, this isn't going to end well. And he didn't believe me. And now you have what you have. And now you got Danny Rabinowitz, Hollywood, on Joe's show calling me out. So, you know, I think we're probably going to end up seeing more of these 40s happening between media members. Look, it's the dog days of summer for us, too. So we need to fill our time with some of these 40-yard dashes.
You know, speaking of the dog days of summer, we had like kind of a rare, entertaining, unusual event happening yesterday at Miami City Hall. You know, Mike, it was too hard for me with my work schedule and some stuff at home. I had planned on maybe stopping by that commission hearing. I didn't realize that by stopping by, I would have been there for 7.5 hours or however long it took. Now, Mike, I am just the idea of it, right? Admitting that, like any South Floridian, I don't know a lot of the details of this proposal because nobody does. And that's one of the sticking points here. But on the surface, I am pro MLS stadium to Mel Reese. I think it looks beautiful, yeah. The concept art of it. I love soccer, so I want to see the team have a great, beautiful home and flourish in that home. But is it fair for me to say that I think that what happened yesterday, for the most part, was constructive, and it was constructive that they put the vote off until Wednesday, because there is a lot about this proposal that South Floridians do not have details on from Moss and Beckham.
Yeah, right. I mean, and not only constructive, but it's responsible, like, we have to, as citizens, let everyone know what this deal would entail, because everyone's still a little shell-shocked from what happened with the Marlins. So, I was listening to most of the hearings and stuff yesterday, like a lot of citizens coming forward and talking about it. And I think sometimes you do, someone mentioned it, sometimes you have to protect the voters from themselves, because look, Beckham is a sexy name. Pro sports is a sexy vote. But is it the right thing for your city? So you do have to get all those numbers, figures and facts in order, before you let the citizens vote on it. We're actually going to have Ken Russell in studio in our 7 o'clock news. He was, of course, the commissioner who basically hung it up yesterday and basically moved it to Wednesday's vote, giving her a little bit more time to get all the details in order.
Should there be any reason to think, and I know that Moss and Beckham have said otherwise, but if this site is shot down and they continue to have problems finding a viable site for the stadium, is there still a chance that MLS soccer in Miami will not happen?
Well, you know, we had that big party where they said MLS, you know, is coming to Miami. I don't know. I think from talking to Moss the other day, they said the Overtown site is their plan B. It's clear that they're not sold on it. It's probably not the greatest location, because I'm not sure how much you could do around it. It would seem like you would basically plop a stadium right in the middle of Overtown. I'm not sure how much parking you could put. I'm not sure if it makes sense, and I don't think it makes sense for them either. So that's why they really wanted this. And I think last night you saw Mayor Francis Suarez, who was really pushing for the vote to happen last night, because I think they're worried that if it didn't happen last night, what's going to happen a week from now? There's a lot less they can control when the vote is pushed back a little bit. Because what the Moss group probably had on their side was the timing and momentum. It was last week they made the announcement, hey, you know, on Thursday, we're going to have this vote, and it didn't really give a lot of time for people to prepare. And I think you saw that last night. It felt like all the numbers weren't there. And people were saying, well, the lease isn't really worth $3.5 million. It's worth a lot more. So is the city, going to actually lose money on this? So I think last night they may seem a little bit worried not having that vote go through. I think they're really hoping it would.
Yeah, something that was apparent from last night's hearing was a huge outpour of support for that Mel Reese golf course. All the orange T-shirts, I've heard from a lot of supporters of that course on social media and via phone calls to my show on this station. Now, Mike, I am not an avid golfer, and so to me, I see golf courses every 10 feet in South Florida. What is it about this Mel Reese course, this public course, that is so special to people who are just so devoted to that area?
Well, I think it's just that first tee program, what it does for kids. You know, it's a great program. You see special needs kids there as well. You know, kids getting scholarships through golf from the first tee program. I think that's really the hook there, and those are a lot of the supporters you saw coming forward. But with that being said, in all fairness, you know, to Jorge Moss, he did say that they were going to have a plan for not only for it to move somewhere else, but for it to also thrive. And Miami Springs was talked about, you know, which is that golf course, the short drive up the road where they can move it. So, yeah, I think the first tee program obviously is one of those things that's kind of a priority, but it looks like there could be actually a solution there.
Now, before he tried to buy the Marlins, I didn't know a lot about Jorge Moss. I've become familiar with him over the past several months. I've seen him speak several times. You know, I was part of the media scrum with him back in March or February when they had the Welcome MLS to Miami thing. So, Mike, my gauge on Jorge Moss is something that clearly differentiates him from Jeffrey Loria is, with Jeffrey Loria, I got the sense that the guy could care less whether he's beloved or hated by this community, that that sort of thing does not keep him awake at night. He doesn't really consider himself a South Floridian or a steward of the community. Where with Jorge Mas, I think it's very important to that guy to be a fixture in this community and to be beloved by this community. So, and maybe this is me drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit too much on Mas, but I don't think Jorge Mas strikes me as the type of person who would want to pull a fast one on the community, get exposed for that later on, and be hated the way that Jeffrey Loria is hated. I think that his public image among Miamians is too important to him to do wrong by this community.
No, I think he cares about that very much. I mean, look, he lives in this community. His kids go to school in this community. He's from here. He is a Miami guy. So I think there's no doubt he wants to have something great for this city. And I think yesterday it really had less to do about him, you know, or him being the next Jeffrey Loria. It had to do more with Jeffrey Loria and the Marlins.
Right.
He kept hearing it over and over again. We don't want that same Marlins deal that now looks so bad so many years later. So, yeah, I completely agree. I think he really wants this to be successful. I think they actually have a really good ownership group on the surface. But obviously, they, you know, you can't cut corners with this stuff. And now that the city has an extra week to vet their plans, we're going to find out, you know, if this is in the end a good deal for the city. But here's the thing. Here's the other side. Jorge Mas is a businessman,
mm-hmm.
and all these guys are businessmen. So their job as businessmen is to get the best deal for themselves.
Right.
So, yes, he wants the best deal for himself. But I think at the same time, I agree with you. He's not here to maybe pull a fast one on the city, because after all, he lives here. His kids are here. His family's here. You know, like, this is his community.
Yeah, and it's like something that another reason why I would love more information on how they're going to get back to the community, because I know that a big thing that people are saying to me is, well, I'm very suspicious because not only are they going to build a stadium there, but they're also building retail space, a hotel, restaurant, office park, other ways to make money. And so, but I can't say, Mike, in a black and white way that just because the billionaire investor wants to make money, that doesn't automatically make this a bad deal. Because what if the community actually benefits from the retail, the restaurant, the hotel, the green space, and especially the 23 acres of youth soccer fields there, just because he is trying to make money on this on the back end, because a stadium in itself is no guarantee to turn a profit. He is trying to add other things to turn a profit, that doesn't automatically necessarily mean this is him pulling a fast one.
No, look, I agree with you. The thing about Mel Reese and the whole argument there was not enough people use that golf course for it to make money, and we heard how it had been losing money. And that was the whole thing with this complex. Their idea was to have it open all year round. Like, you go to Marlins Park, unless there's a concert happening there in the off season, it's basically a ghost town. I think there's a cell phone store and a pro shop open underneath, you know, in the breezeway there. Yeah, like, no, really. Like, I mean, I think they want this to be something that people are actually going to. Now, will that cost money if you're going there? Maybe. Maybe they charge people for parking if you have little league games there, tournaments there. But at least in their plans and in their ideas, it sounds like they're trying to make it open all year round, where they can make money all year round. Hey, look, if they put a hotel there, I mean, let's be honest. If you're flying into Miami, you know, and you're here on business, you're probably going to end up staying at the closest hotel to the airport.
That's true.
And that would be right there. So I do think you have to give them credit for doing their homework on that end, because that's what happens with a lot of stadiums, and that's what would probably happen to the stadium in Overtown. If they built one in Overtown, it would just be for soccer and maybe high school football games or something in the off season, or, you know, other high school events, but it wouldn't be a complex that's visited all year round.
Last thing here, Mike Cugno from CBS4 joins us. So, Mike, on Wednesday, the commission is going to vote on whether or not to put this to a public vote on the ballot in November. Do you have a gut feeling? Like, well, what does your gut tell you on Wednesday? Is the commission going to pass this or deny this?
Okay. Gut feeling was if they had voted yesterday, they may have gotten it. I'm not as confident because I think it's going to cost more. And that we're going to find out how much more the ownership group is willing to pay, because obviously we heard about the whole, you know, toxic land underneath the golf course and having to fill in like the lakes and ponds. And that's all starting to add up. So if they're willing to fork over that money, then they've got a good shot. If not, they may have to look elsewhere. Now, with that being said, I don't think just because if they don't win the vote on Wednesday, that I don't think MLS and Miami would be gone.
Okay.
Or, you know, the idea would be gone. I think they're going to try to make this happen one way or the other.
I appreciate your time, sir. Mike Cugno from CBS4, CBS Miami. Thank you so much, Mike, and enjoy the rest of your night. And I'm going to DVR that newscast tonight where we'll hear from the commissioner who kind of held the swing vote.
Yeah, he should be on in a few minutes here with Rick and Rutabay. And Donald, maybe you and me do the next 40, huh? How about that?
I give me like 2 years to train, bro, and it's on.
Okay, you got it.
Thanks, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.